everybody, to another edition of the Nerd Watch, the September edition, the very first Nerd Watch of September 2015. We are semi-officially out of summer. We're semi-officially out of summer. We are out of the summer movie season, that's for sure, by what's coming out this week in theaters.
Oh, lordy. Yes.
We'll talk about that later. We're moving into September, moving back into the groove of school and what's going to be on television. There's a lot of television they're promoting as of late, like Scream Queens on Fox, Blind Spot on NBC, and a bunch of other things. You know, our favorites are coming back. So, yeah, we're getting back into the groove of being at home more. Video games are coming out, so it's September. I am joined, ladies and gentlemen, by four great men. One silent.
No, you're right. It's three great men.
And one silent.
And then Sean.
That's right. Silent Sean is in the house. I'm joined by the one and only Format.
Oh, he's still here?
Yes, he is still here. Gannon is in the house today as well. Woo-hoo! And the owner, proprietor of one of the best comic book shops on Maui.
Wait a minute.
Excuse me. Let me strike that and
I think we missed something.
The best and only comic book shop on Maui. Maui Comics and Collectibles.
The best is default in this case, isn't it?
Alink is in the house today as well.
You're kind of embarrassed to take the best of it.
How's everybody doing? How's everybody's week been? Alika, how's it going?
It's been going good, yeah.
Good, good. By the way, just to let you guys know right off the bat here, Alika, every Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, if you happen to be in town, you can check them out at facebook.com/Maui Comics and Collectibles. Comic Book Wednesday. Brand new comics every single Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Derry Road. If you're in town, come on by. Give them a look. Great stuff. We just had some wonderful customers come in. Buy some retro games, comics, figures, things like that.
Yeah, we put some new Nintendo out. And we've got a copy of Avengers 1 that you can come and ogle for a little while.
Well, listen, you buried the, I wanted to get that out. I wanted to see that.
You gotta make a list.
All right, here's the thing.
Not to talk about
Avengers. Let me tell you something. Alika has Avengers.
It's your book. You can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want. No, Avengers number one is sitting in his store. The very first edition of the Avengers from back in what year, sir?
1963.
1963. Sits in his store. Looks absolutely beautiful. And it is an amazing looking book. I got to hold it, and I could feel the history just electrifying through my hands. So, yeah.
God, I hope that
wasn't
history.
The book.
It wasn't the book. Yeah, it's as if I could feel Stan Lee's precious hands on my
arm. This pod just got really weird.
Sorry.
It broke into a weird.
Feeling a little uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm sweating a little bit.
I'm sitting on this side of the table.
But, and that just kind of happenstanced from the street, did it not?
Well, a loyal customer brought it in.
Some random guy off the street.
Not just some
showed up
guy.
With Avengers number one.
He strode in on a horse.
It's just rode on a horse. A knight in shining armor.
But it's crazy, that kind of stuff. People don't believe that everything I find in this store is found on island. Most of it's on island. Some of it's on other islands, but all of it's in Hawaii.
That's amazing.
So that was very cool.
If you just want to come and take a look at what Avengers number one looked like, or looks like.
Or if you want to buy it, even.
Yes, you can, if you want to come and take a look at it.
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, yeah, well, it's for sale.
Alika will at least give you 10% over cover price.
At least. By the way, speaking of comics, how's the Daredevil looking? We've been talking a lot about that for the last couple weeks,
three weeks. It's the owner's back, so we're going to start looking at the collection pretty soon.
Sweet. Fantastic.
There's something I want to ogle.
Yeah,
I would love to just look at those comics.
The number one is in incredible shape from what I remember. And I don't remember any color breaks on the spine, which is phenomenal for that book.
For those of you
potential for pressing if you're into that kind of thing.
Right. For those of you that are into comic book speak, it just means that it looks nice on the spine of the comic book. Right?
Yeah, like the...
You know where the staples go?
It hasn't been bent enough. Yeah, it hasn't been bent enough that the color has broken on the cover.
Correct. It's supple.
The spine is round.
Are we still talking about comics?
I don't know.
It's getting dirtier and dirtier.
I think you stopped talking about comics like ages ago.
I think once Stan Lee's hands enter the picture.
Sorry. Anyway, what about you, Format? How's your week been, sir?
It's been all right. I've been doing some, well, not retro gaming, but fired up the PS2 and been playing some PS2 classics.
I think you could call PlayStation 2 retro gaming. I think it falls in that category. Alika laughs. I think so. But I would assume so.
There's people who want me to start doing PS2, but it's like, I feel like cartridge gaming is legitimately considered retro
right?
gaming.
That's
Once it turns into
think,
a disc,
right.
I feel like it looks a little too new.
What if it's Virtual Boy?
If we move beyond discs, then
nobody
I
wants
like,
that. But
if somebody had a Virtual Boy, I would love to play that because I had one and I didn't get the migraines or anything when I played it.
And
so.
Never see the same for the rest of your
exactly
like,
everything's
adult
blue
life.
For the rest of the day.
That's how you know Tron World would never work.
I'll never forget putting my head into the demo version at KB Toy Store one day. I freaked. I was like, I cannot do this.
I think it's funny that was supposed to be a portable system.
Yeah.
It came complete with a tripod.
Right, a tripod. And then had that little handle that you could just hold on to, right? Isn't there a handle on it or something?
No,
you had to have the headrest sitting on the counter. Yeah. And you
had a tripod.
And you put insert
it.
The game inside the controller.
Got it.
But it was portable enough for me to bring to someone else's house. Like, I didn't need a TV to play it.
How many games were produced?
There was, like, four or five. Four? There was, like, tennis. There was a submarine game.
There were quite a few. Not a lot of them still exist.
Less than 10, for sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you still have one, don't you?
Yeah, I have a Virtual Boy. I only have Mario Tennis, though. VR Tennis.
I'm assuming you could sell that for a pretty penny.
I don't know. I'm not so many.
No?
Well, no, when you say pretty penny, like a shiny one.
Like a shiny
one, right?
That's what I meant. That's totally what I meant.
Not like the expression.
That's totally what I meant. You're right.
You know, like a penny from...
It's kind of making me want to play Virtual
Boy. I know,
I actually liked it. A lot
the
of
Virtual
people
Boy edition
it,
of the Nerdwatch podcast.
I'm surprised you
I
liked
was
it.
A Nintendo freak, so I just love
yeah,
Nintendo.
Yeah, same here.
So was Format. Format's a huge Nintendo freak.
Yeah, we were talking about it before you guys came. Yeah.
Mega Man for
because
life.
Because we were here at 7, unlike...
Mega Man for life.
Oh, yeah. Mega Man for life.
So, Ganon, sir, how was
how much do you hate Nintendo?
nobody gave for me this weekend. Got to hang out pretty late. We watched a bunch of horror movies though. That was a lot
awesome.
Of fun.
You did say horror movies.
Horror movies,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Right, continuing
the trend. I've seen a few times, but she hasn't. So you know,
oh, okay.
Speed
so
if you gave her a little bit of an education,
what did you educate her on?
Well, first of all, we watched the first two Elm Street films.
Okay.
Showed her It Follows. She didn't seem to dig it so much.
Interesting.
But the one that I did show was Evil Dead.
Ooh, the first one.
The absolute first one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the...
I think she's very confused how the next two play out. For the obvious reasons.
Right.
But we haven't gotten around to those yet, so I'll give you the report on that
okay.
Once we get to those.
Do you think do you see her warming up to those movies?
Sure, why not? Mm. How can you not be charmed by those, especially Evil Dead 2?
That is very true.
How can you not be charmed by
that? That is very true. It is hard for me to warm up to Nightmare on Elm Street 2, though. That's a tough call for me.
Yes, you can. You gotta watch it again. Understanding what that movie is supposed to be, you'll totally be charmed by it the second time around.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
I should never have watched that 3-hour documentary about Nightmare on Elm Street because that just totally changed my mind about ever watching it again. It totally ruined me. I was like, when I watched it before that documentary, I was like, some of that's a little overly, you know, homoerotic.
I will always give Nightmare on Elm Street 2 credit for trying to go completely against the grain for what was already kind of the formula for horror films.
Correct.
You know, male protagonist and things like that, you know what I mean? And the fact, you know, you have a male character screaming and crying.
Yeah.
And somebody's trying to get, you don't really see that too often.
No,
so
right.
I like it on that level to begin with.
I think one of my favorite scenes...
Plus the underlying homosexual undertones.
The homosexual undertones is
when you watched it in 85, you didn't really notice it that much.
You didn't at all.
But when you watch it now, you're like, it's startlingly homosexual.
It's like I said, I got the same thing when I was creeped out when I watched Jeepers Creepers, especially Jeepers Creepers 2, I should say. And that's... it freaked me out. But the towel snapping of the rear ends and the
when you watch it in 85, you thought nothing of it. You watch it now, like this is sexy.
It's being a little sexy.
I'm not against this.
One of the best scenes in that film for me, and probably the one that made no sense at all, was when he comes out of the young man when he literally, no pun intended.
All right, well.
I don't think it made
sense. I don't want to turn this into a Nightmare on Elm Street 2 podcast, but That's just a, you know, this is a transitional type of thing for the audience to see. That
yes.
It's not him anymore.
Him anymore, it's right. Freddy. I love that scene, though, because it does set up something that I've never seen before. I like that.
It's them trying to one-up American Werewolf in London, I would say.
Not going to happen.
Like, after that movie came out, everybody's trying to do some really cool transformational scenes.
Not going to happen. No. That's one of the best ever.
CG can't do what that movie did.
Damn right. Rick Baker's the man.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Even though he's quitting.
Yes, he is. He's upset. He's ticked. And good for him. No one wants to use his talents anymore. So now you lose on
it. You know what movie ruined it for him? I'm telling you right now.
Which one?
The new Planet of the Apes movies. Those are probably the movies that really ruined it for him.
Because he worked on the first one, right? He worked on the first one.
No, he didn't work on Rise.
He didn't?
He didn't. He worked on the, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Dawn?
He did. No. I think he did the Tim Burton one, didn't he?
He did the Tim Burton one, yes. And I believe if I got
my... I don't
my,
think he did Rise.
If I have my history correct... He wasn't a lead on it, but he also worked on the original from 1960s.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like that was like his forte. He got really good at doing not creatures, but animals in particular. Mm-hmm. So when those movies came around, it was completely CG.
Dang, Rick Baker.
I think those are the movies more than any of the other ones that he's probably lost jobs on that made him like, all right, screw it.
I'm out
the business. They don't need me anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that ponytail. Mm-hmm. Going to totally miss it. What did Sean do this weekend?
Camping.
You went camping. Did you go camping or glamping? Which one? Camping. Really? Where? Hana. Wow. That's amazing. What is there to do when you camp?
Camp. At the hotel?
I know.
Went up on Apple.
So you like pitch tents in the whole nine?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I'm sure he did. I pitched
no pun intended.
Not even go camping.
Wow, you just can't get over the whole crapping in the woods thing. It freaks me out a little bit. Are there bathrooms?
There's bathrooms.
Oh, there's bathrooms. Okay.
There's bathrooms there? Yeah. Oh, then I'll go.
All right. I'm all right with it.
You didn't tell me that part. When you were trying to talk me, it was like, nah.
Crazy. All right. So he went camping. That's very un-nerd-like, but hey, I understand.
Now, were you stalked by a serial killer with some...
Right, that is true.
That would veer you somewhat back to nerdy territory. Ah, forget you then.
All right.
Moving on.
I wonder, if Silent Sean craps in the woods, does he make noise?
Would anybody hear it? I think not. Well, listen, since we've been talking about it, our first order of business... is to deal with the, since we were talking about it already, is the death of an amazing auteur, as it were, an amazing man who brought us nightmares. The one and only Wes Craven died at the tender age of 76 years old and passed away of brain cancer. I had heard inklings and rumors of that. I didn't know if that was real or not, so I took it with a grain of salt, but apparently he did pass away from... brain cancer. So let's take a moment around the table. Alika, if you're available, what have you. Wes Craven has essentially crafted a world now that basically can't live without what he's given to the horror genre. Am I right? You think
Well, he's the man that, in my opinion, single-handedly built New Line Cinema.
I have no Lord of the Rings,
no Austin Powers, no Ninja Turtles. granted, they had to take the chance on what he had written with the first Elm Street, but by the very creation of that, led to all of those things.
Absolutely.
To a point where Warner Brothers would buy it as a commodity.
Yeah.
And that's just from that. That has nothing to do with his body of work. That's just from making one thing that led to all these other things.
Right. Extremely disturbing and iconic. Of course, we're talking about Freddy Krueger. But before that, long before that, Wes Craven was making other movies. Of course, his first movie being The Last House on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've watched that film.
Hills Have Eyes as well.
Hills Have Eyes, which is another great film. Now, Alika, are you familiar with Wes Craven? Obviously, but were you a fan of his work?
I was young, so I didn't associate the movies with the directors. But all those movies are in my childhood, and I was not a horror guy. Like, it kind of scared me a little bit, like those movies.
Really?
And so it wasn't until later till I watched the Nightmare on Elm Street movies and all that. Like, I caught the first ones when they first were out on VHS or whatever.
Right.
And they were so scary to me that I just, like, avoided them. I was only like, you know, 6 or 7 when they came out.
So which one affected you the most if you had a one to choose?
I would say Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. A lot of people go back to that.
Well, it's like he created a character that's just like an American icon. Like right. He inserted something into the, like, there's Lucy, there's Elvis, there's Betty Boop, there's Freddy Krueger, there's Mickey Mouse. You know what I mean? Like,
he's pop culture.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's inserted something that just stuck in there and that America isn't America without anymore.
Now, looking at his work, knowing what he has done, would you, Gannon, as well, would you say A Nightmare on Elm Street was the one that you connected to the most?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of a stale answer, but I mean, it's true. Everything Alika said is absolutely true. I mean, everybody, you would have, I mean, you've probably seen, if you ever see the documentary Never Sleep Again, they throw in tons of clips of all these people that just bring it up as inside jokes.
Right.
You've seen them spoofing on The Simpsons. Something about the concept and the character just kind of grasped your imagination. The idea of this inescapable thing that you can't get away from.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you can't get past that icon. And it's not just Robert Englund's performance. It's just the very idea behind that character and how it works.
Yeah.
You don't get to it without Wes Craven.
Format, what about you? Are you a aficionado of horror from Wes?
Probably not.
Right.
I'm not a huge horror fan. Like, I like the genre as a whole.
Hmm.
But I never really... Well, when I was growing up, I found myself being very, I don't know what the word is. Like I there was, as a child, I had a lot of empathy towards characters when I would see them in movies. So
you connect like almost instantly.
Yeah, that's always been my thing. That's why. I can relate to so many different things in different movies, even though I have no idea what the subject matter is about.
Wow.
I can place myself in that situation. And, I mean, Nightmare, I never wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah.
At all.
That's very true.
It wasn't until Dream Warriors that I realized, oh, hey, I can actually control this stuff. And maybe, yeah, maybe it's okay to go to bed again. But, I mean, everything was like that. I mean, right. Freaking, like, Ghoulies. I never wanted to use the toilet. Jaws, I never wanted to go to the beach. Never. Just every single thing. So
Jason,
for me,
you never want to go camping? I'm
exactly.
Like Sean.
But it's, that's how the horror genre has always been for me. So I tried to steer away from it. That doesn't mean I didn't watch it.
Right.
Like, I would view the movies, but I could always put myself in there, and then I'd end up leaving the theater with, like, a panic attack.
Wow!
So, I would try to distance myself, but I'd go and see it. It all depends on the company, really.
Right.
Like, that's something that I found out later in my teen years, that it's the movie's always better if you go with someone else.
Well, the thing about Wes, you make a good point, because the thing about Wes Craven's work is, at least for me, is quite interesting, because I always gauge when they get me, I don't show fear or anything in the theater. I don't or any of that emotion. What happens is that when they get me, I have this grin on my face, as if, man, I look at the thing and I go, they got me. And that was and I did that a lot with Wes's work,
which wasn't always great.
Which wasn't always
to be
great.
Fair,
right?
I mean, his later work did fall off.
He did. He did Swamp Thing.
He's
not give him too much
credit for the Scream movie.
Yeah. Let's go down the list really quick here, because Swamp Thing is a great movie, regardless of what anybody says. Adrian Barbeau was so fun in that movie. Wes Craven. A lot of people forget that he did it. You like Swamp Thing?
Some people forget
that
it even exists.
Yeah. Well, Swamp Thing is great. I think it's underrated. And if I'm not mistaken, he also did another great movie, which is completely underrated. He did the movie with Christy Swanson called Deadly Friend. Anybody remember Deadly Friend?
Deadly Friend, yes.
Uh-huh, from the 1980s.
Never saw it, but I remember it.
Yes.
And my favorite when it comes to obscure ones is People Under the Stairs, though.
Everybody likes The People Under the Stairs.
I really like that movie.
I could never relate to People Under the Stairs, because I never found them to be... frightening, I guess, maybe. I guess
I don't think you're not meant to be afraid of them.
That's right.
I don't think I've ever seen that, like, the entirety of that movie. Because I remember only seeing it, like, on HBO, and then someone would change it.
With the shotgun.
Yeah.
Did you see People Under the Stairs?
When I was young.
Yeah. They had that young kid that was really big at the time. He was like in a lot of, he was a character actor in a lot of movies. He was in television a lot.
Was a black kid, sir.
I'm sorry. That was my. He was a black kid. But yeah.
I just want to point out it's not Macaulay Culkin. I can't remember that actor's name.
Well, you know, you do mention People Under the Stairs. Which is a film that I didn't relate to. But there are two movies before that that I really liked.
Let's hear it.
Well, there's Shocker.
Oh, here comes Judgment based on that hesitation.
There's Shocker, which that's I think fine. Is underrated.
That's fine.
And I think there's one movie in his canon that he should be more proud of and people should take
a look. Don't you dare say Scream 4.
Scream 4 should definitely be. Serpent in the Rainbow with Bill Pullman.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I gotta give up for that one, too.
That movie, if there is something that is frightening, that movie, for its time, was incredibly frightening.
Definitely an underrated one in its canon, for sure.
The voodoo in and of itself, he made it feel so real. And like, you know, you just felt as if... Matter of fact, I was watching a making of it. I'm not mistaken. Bill Pullman and Wes Craven, when they filmed it, they were actually involved in a voodoo ritual. In the film,
I hadn't heard that.
I had read something about that, and I was like, "Whoa, that's insane."
I can see Wes Craven being that interested in going that.
That's
far,
what
though.
I mean, man.
Because he was always into exploring those dark corners of your head,
right? Mm-hmm. At least if they weren't part of it, he was filming it, and they said it was okay. I can see that. The Nightmare on Elm Street goes without saying. The very first one, he had nothing to do with the sequels.
No, well, I mean, he wrote the third, yes. And then he came back and directed New Nightmare.
Third was amazing. Still my favorite one.
Not as involved in that one as most people think, though, because that one was heavily rewritten compared to the version that he wanted to do.
That's the one by Rennie Harlan. That's the one Rennie Harlan.
No. Rennie Harlan did four.
Four.
Russell did three.
Chuck Russell did three. That's right. Which is the one that Stephen Hopkins did. That was
five. Stephen Hopkins did five.
Five. That was a dream child. Garbage. Ugh. Anyway.
I liked elements of it. I'm a Freddy fan, so I'll always excuse him.
He revisited. Wes Craven decided to go back and revisit Freddy in Wes Craven's New Nightmare,
which was a great movie.
I think that film does not get enough credit for what it was. I don't think people got it at the time, to be quite honest.
It's because he completely stepped away from any of the continuity and the whole mythology that had been set up prior, and he just decided to do something completely different and original. What he did is basically what Scream was, the concept of not necessarily making a parody of the horror genre, but kind of essentially the idea of picking it apart and getting into the nuts and bolts of how it works.
But it was brilliant. Did you watch A New Nightmare?
Yeah, that's the one that I watched while it was out, when it was out.
Because if I'm honest, it really screws with your head, because when you're watching on screen Wes, and he's talking to Heather Langenkamp, and he's calling her Heather, and he's calling, and she's calling him Wes, and they're talking as if it was surreal, and it was just really just. And when Freddy shows up, that one was an excellent movie.
He had concepts for that movie that I would have loved to have seen, though. Like, there was going to be a scene that, if I remember correctly, that he was going to pull up in a van, and Michael Berryman was supposed to be the driver of the van, and he had actually cut his eyelids out because he was really trying to write the script, and he didn't want to sleep.
Holy cow.
Stuff like that was supposed to be in the movie, and they took it out because it was just a little bit too far, but I was like, that's not far enough.
That's amazing.
That would have set that movie up another couple notches.
Looking at that film, when he revisited with A New Nightmare, he must have been in a different headspace from where he was, because he probably saw all of the sequels and was like, "Man, we got to get back to what this was."
He didn't know what to do as far as like continuing from where the last ones left off, because like from five into six, they completely jumped from characters in that one anyway, and he didn't want to have to reconcile all those stories. From what I would assume,
right.
I don't think he wanted to have to reconcile any of those old storylines, because he has no attachment to any of them.
Right.
What he did have attachment to was Heather Langenkamp's character, Robert Englund's character, John Saxon's character, those people he directed in the first one.
I love John Saxon.
So I think he just wanted to revisit those characters, but had no way to do it since they were all dead. So I think that was kind of his way to kind of cheat and, you know, be able to do what he wanted to do with those characters.
Can I tell you how bold Wes Craven is? Let me tell you how bold this man is. How bold this man was. After the New Nightmare, you know what film he wanted? He did? He did A Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
With Eddie Murphy.
I don't know if that's bold or so much as that he needed a paycheck or wanted to stretch his muscles on something else.
You know, I think it's about stretching muscles. I think that's the cool thing
about...
He did
do that a lot in that period.
Yeah,
because there's Music of the Heart, which he also directed. Music of the Heart,
right.
There's Red Eye, which is still, I guess, it's not a horror, but a thriller film.
It's a thriller.
Still kind of playing in his wheelhouse.
Vampire in Brooklyn came out, and then after that was Scream, mm-hmm. and then Scream 2, which he did, and then Music of the Heart. And then he did Scream 3.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
You're not a fan, huh? And then he did the movie... Did he direct Cursed? I think
he did.
Yes,
he did. He did.
He did direct Cursed, didn't he? Interesting.
That one's heavily edited. He did not...
That was the werewolf movie.
Yeah, Christina Ricci and... Yep. I can't remember who else is in that movie anymore, but yeah. I don't have fond memories of that movie at all.
No. And then he did the disastrous My Soul to Take, which I did not...
I don't even think I made through the first 10 minutes of that movie.
I couldn't do it. I watched the whole thing and I couldn't handle it. And then, of course, he did Scream 4 was his last directorial credit.
What a shame. You know what I mean? Like, to go out and that's the last thing you've done.
Yeah.
He did executive produce that MTV series, which I haven't seen, but apparently it's
not... Oh, the Scream series?
Yeah, apparently it's not as bad as I was assuming it would be.
Well, you know, here's a guy that basically, with one character, reshaped an entire horror genre. Mm-hmm.
But you know how rare it is for a director to come up with two horror icons?
Yeah.
How many do you know off the top of your head that have done that? Not many. He's kind of the only one.
That's very true. I mean, you know, a lot of people give credit to Kevin Williamson for the Scream character.
Yeah, but he didn't have a vision for what it would look like.
No.
That's the thing.
No, he didn't. The great thing about Wes is that he realized that killers or... antagonists, as they were, as we called them, as Freddy was, didn't have to be somebody like a Jason. He didn't have to be a Michael Myers. He could have character. There could be something about him.
That's how he actually cast Robert Englund.
Yeah,
because he originally wanted a stuntman to play the character, or they were thinking in terms of getting a stuntman. Right. Strangely enough, the original Jason. I can't remember. Kane Hodder. He had an audition to play Freddy.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, I saw that in the documentary.
He said it a bunch of times that he had actually auditioned to play Freddy, and every time they had a stuntman do the audition, it wasn't anywhere close to what he had seen in his head. He wanted somebody that would go into that dark stuff that's lingering in the back of your head, disturbing stuff that's just lingering around, that most people suppress. Right. Robert Englund was the only guy that came to audition that really went there.
Right.
Let himself be disgusting. Let himself be disturbing.
And if you go back and watch A Nightmare on Elm Street, you realize how ahead of its time it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And as we
all know now, after the remake, probably can't be done again.
Never again. Here's the thing is that, you know, a lot of us, even you, Alika, I would assume, we all look at Freddy as kind of like he's almost like, he's so pop culture that he's not even scary anymore. But when you look at him in his original form...
When I was a kid, I was scared crapless of him.
He is truly terrifying. This guy is absolutely terrifying. Not only do we find out that he's a child molester, but he's been burned to death. You know, and it's just the themes of that. I mean, for someone like Wes to come up with that, it just amazes me. And things like The Hills Have Eyes, just so completely out there. I mean, that was... The Hills Have Eyes for me was what Wrong Turn was in the 90s, that what he originally had started with Hills Have Eyes and Hills Have Eyes 2, which wasn't as good as the first one. So, anyway, just wanted to reminisce a little bit about Wes Craven. You have defined a genre, sir. You shall be missed. Your ideas will be missed. And like I said in my comment post, your nightmares are now ours. So thank you for that. We certainly appreciate that. And you scared us for quite a good long time. So big honors to you, my friend. Anyway, we lose Wes Craven, but I'm assuming that there will be, or my hope is, someone will be willing to take up the mantle and make a dent in the horror genre, because we are missing. And maybe it's the guy, maybe it's Mitchell from It Follows. Maybe it's him.
He's only one movie deep, though, right now.
That's
so
what
we'll
I'm saying.
See,
we'll see. Well, definitely.
There's a lot of directors out there that do one great movie and their follow-ups don't really live up to
it. Yeah, that's very true. Very, very true. So let's see who steps up to the plate and kind of takes the mantle.
Still not Carpenter. He's still working.
Tell you what, all I know is that before Carpenter passes on, I want to see him do a movie. Before he goes, I want to see him do
Escape from Earth. Yeah.
I want to see him do something. Anything. They Live Too. Anything. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Once John Carpenter passes, then we'll talk. Yeah, thank you. Then we'll talk about
that's
his
the sound of me knocking on wood, not dropping my phone. Yeah,
we need one guy. We need one guy. Anyway, moving on to more nerdy news this morning. And you guys can all weigh in on this. Or excuse me, this morning. This evening. Wow, my clock is screwed. Sorry.
That's why he's always here late.
Nerdwatch! Yeah, not always. Just often. Anyway, Nerdwatch posted that there was going to be a big event come September 4th. Called Force Friday.
Hope your wallets are fat.
And they were going to be debuting the new lineup of toys and figures that will be coming out for the new Star Wars films.
From Kenner, right?
From Kenner, that's awesome.
Some of it's leaked out, though.
Really?
I've already seen some of it on some shelves. I've seen some t-shirts out there that don't look like they're supposed to be out yet. I see some toys that aren't from the new movie, but I've seen them out and they're not supposed to be out
yet. I've seen a lot of the toys from the new movie already.
Yeah.
There's some spoilers in there.
Well, I'm...
Especially when they show the names on the figure.
Yeah.
No big surprise. Hawaii, or at least Maui, is not getting any Force Friday. We'll be getting toys. We'll be getting the shirts and the goods, but we won't be having a huge event, which is kind of a shame. And
midnight release,
right? Yeah. And I don't think
midnight release.
I don't think Honolulu's getting it either. I don't think.
I don't care about Honolulu.
Yeah. They're gonna go out and get all the good stuff. Midnight.
I know. Come on,
we're not. So
Oahu, screw them. Whatever.
But I did try calling around to make sure that we're gonna get something, and no.
So what
they don't
you
like
give,
Star Wars out here.
Yeah, give us a little rundown. What was the answer that you got when you did call to find out about Force Friday?
Well, Target, I think they were the only ones that were like, oh yeah, we know about the event, but we're not going to be participating. But we have a bunch of coupons that are going to be available online that, you know, you can download and use them in the store that day. So, you know, you still get the discounts and all that for the new release stuff.
Oh, cool.
Just no event. Walmart had no idea what I was talking about.
They're like, Star Wars?
Star
what is that?
Star what?
Yeah, they're like, Star who? What event?
What?
And I was like, okay.
I would have taken that as a no.
I called our Toys R Us, and they were like, we're just an express store, so no. I was like, wow. Okay, thank
amazing.
You. Called Hot Topic. They were pretty cool. They were like, oh, we're going to have a bunch of new stuff that has to do with, Force Awakens, but we're not having, like, a big blown-out event or anything. You know, store opens and closes like usual.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
So
unceremonious.
Yeah, I was completely. Like, oh, man, for something as huge as Star Wars,
right. For
us not to have, you know, it just felt kind of, wow.
So, Alika...
I feel kind of shafted.
Yeah. If the thing is that can you partake in any of these? Can you order any of that stuff at all? Or
only the comic-based stuff. Because Diamond Distribution, they only distribute certain toy brands.
Gotcha.
And so Hasbro is who's doing it now. They don't distribute through Diamond Distribution.
Is it Hasbro that's doing that Star Wars? Oh, wow.
Hasbro has been doing Star
for
Wars.
For years.
No,
for
no,
a
no,
long
no.
time. Since the prequels.
No, I thought when Disney took over, I thought Disney was going to take the mantle of doing the toys.
They they're still serviced by all the same merchandisers that have already been in place.
Wow. So when those toys hit the shelves, you'll be probably looking for them as well then.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now here's the question, gentlemen. Are these things still viable? I mean, when we were younger, it's one thing because we all, you know, these are things that we'd actually use or we'd actually collect. Now it seems as if we live in such a digital world that this almost seems superfluous to everyone.
Shut
else.
Your mouth.
What?
Sorry.
What?
Shut okay. your mouth.
Since when Jeez. Wow. You guys made toys useless.
No, I mean, what I'm
we're
saying.
We're sitting in a comic book store.
No. You're misunderstanding.
I feel offended.
Me. I know you do. All right, everybody calm down.
Wow. Sean's visibly getting upset.
What I'm saying is that especially these events. Aren't geared technically for the younger set. They're geared towards the guys who know Star Wars and they want to introduce
the guys
kids
who were alive
when
it came out in 77.
Correct. So my question is that living in the digital world, are they those guys that are connected all the time? Not us, but the guys, the younger kids, your kids. Are they really going to care about that? You know, that's what I'm kind of curious about. I'm kind of curious if this is something that they're looking forward to, or they want to be playing with, or they want to.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
All right.
Because you're going to see kids walking around all over the place the next couple of months with lightsabers, masks,
T-shirts. If the kids can know and enjoy the female Ghostbuster cast before the movie's out.
Yeah. I mean, it's been how many years since Revenge of the Sith?
But almost 20 years, isn't it? Did we have that same... But we didn't have that same... When the prequels came out, we didn't have the same fanfare when it came to, like, constantly...
I would disagree. I would disagree completely. Yeah. When all those toys came out, when all that merchandise came out, it was crazy. There were people buying up Jar Jar Binks figures.
I can tell you...
Coming, until they saw the movie.
There's a lot of people coming in trying to get rid of their 90s Star Wars toys ahead of this new movie.
Yeah.
They're like, the surge is coming. Here's all
I still
Star
have
Wars.
Some of that stuff, too. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Same here.
Because they did a re-release of all the 70s toys as well, so it was like a twofer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I wasn't, and maybe I missed the boat on it, because I wasn't a big toy collector at that time. So maybe I'm missing the mark here, so it's possible. I mean, this could be huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's the majority of the toys you'll find around are all the 90s re-releases. Like, it's very difficult to find the original 70s toys, 70s and 80s toys.
Do you... My
Black labels.
Remind me later after this is over. I got a story for you about that one.
My question is that I don't think that they're going to sell that well until the movie comes out. Would that be...
I would disagree on that one,
Do
too,
you think
man.
So?
Yeah, oh, no, yeah. I'm going to go buy as many as I can.
Really?
Because you got to remember, when you're going to walk into these stores, they're going to have big, huge displays for this.
Okay.
This is basically the opening salvo for the movie. I mean, yeah, the trailers have been out for a while, and for the most part, it's been guys that have been going to movies that have seen them, like Avengers.
And
or
once the toys are on, all the spoiler bets
but
are off.
That's,
we know all the characters.
That's
names.
What's selling your movie.
Right.
It's not the trailers, it's not the comic book tie-ins or the novels. It's when you walk into a store and you see an entire wall full of Star Wars stuff. That's what's going to sell the movie for kids.
My question is, what fast food establishment has got the licensing for...
So we can get the collectible glass?
Oh!
Because remember when the three prequels came out, it was Taco Bell who had the licensing.
Yep. Right. If I'm not mistaken, it's not... I don't think it's not McDonald's. I think it's Burger King or
really
yeah.
It's Burger King. I want some collectible glasses.
Yeah, I would. Now that is one thing that I remember growing up.
I still have my Empire Strikes Back ones.
Those collectible glasses that were that had the lead paint on them
that apparently give you cancer, but only in California, as I've come to find out.
They're only for collecting, not drinking.
That's right. They're only for collecting.
You're supposed to put them on your shelf and look at them.
Read the lead paint warning on the bottom.
I did collect the Burger King Star Wars cups. Those are amazing. I always like those.
Still are, man.
Yeah, they still are awesome if you can find them. But okay, so maybe I'm the guy who's...
I think you're a little disconnected
from this disconnected.
One. This one looks a lot better than the prequels did anyways. Like, how are we to know? We were just excited we were getting the prequels, but these actually look really good. J.J. Abrams... Like, he's proven he can be trusted.
Well, and let's be honest. If there is somebody that can merchandise better than Lucasfilm, it's Disney.
Oh, yeah. Disney's got it. I mean, they've got, like, three cartoon series ramped up to this one movie. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
The kids know Star Wars.
Right.
And I'm amazed at how well kids know Star Wars. Because they can point out Obi-Wan. And they can point out, you know, well, not necessarily.
What's frustrating for me is it's mostly from that Clone Wars show, though.
Yeah,
Clone Wars. Yeah.
At least I know who Yoda is.
Yeah, yeah. I like that Clone Wars show.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they got that new Rebels show. It's not Clone Wars anymore.
No,
now,
it's Rebels.
Rebels is actually continuity.
Oh, it is?
Cool.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It is.
It's continuity. Everything, here's the thing.
Rebels and on.
So this is how, according to what I have been reading, everything starting now... after Clones is all part of canon.
Are you saying Shadows of the Empire didn't happen anymore?
No.
Oh, that is some haberdashery.
That's one of the N64 game?
No. That was a comic series.
That's one of the best comic book series.
It happened between Empire and Return of the Jedi, according to Dark Horse.
Now, and when I say canon, I just don't mean the cartoon. I mean the books, the games.
That was a long time ago. We knew the books were wiped out.
No. But the new books.
Oh, the new books are part of
canon. The new books are part of canon. The games are going to be part of canon.
There's been two.
Anything that Disney puts out counts, apparently.
Oh, right. Anything that Disney puts out
from now on. The big drop is coming up, though. In the next couple months, there's going to be the comic series for Aftermath. And it's supposed to cover the events.
I need all of that.
Yeah.
Episode 6 and 7. Those will be canon.
Yeah, those are going to be canon. So that's what you want to know, because it's not going to be in the movies.
Right.
It's covering what happened.
Alluded to, most likely, or you'll see some background details, and the books will fill that out, no doubt.
So maybe you guys are right, then. Maybe this is a resurgence of the Star Wars.
I'll tell you what, Greg. Why don't you go over to Walmart or Target Friday morning and see what we're talking about, because I'm pretty sure you're going to see some. I mean, it's not going to just be guys our age. They're going to be dragging their kids around, too.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I'll take a look, because I'm just, it's interesting to me that
good if you're doing that, go shopping for me too.
It'll be interesting to see a resurgence for Star Wars, because, you know,
kids are a lot more familiar with the characters than you realize nowadays.
Right? And what kid doesn't know what a lightsaber is?
Yeah.
Good point. All right. Well, listen, if I see any toys, I'll make sure to take pictures of it and let you know.
Just buy them.
Just buy them.
And give them to us. If you don't want them, you can return them.
You just don't want them, you can return them. Okay, well then.
Since you're not into toys, apparently.
I'm totally not. That's the weirdest thing ever. So, anyway, speaking of Disney, let's talk a little bit about one of Disney's other properties.
Mickey Mouse.
They're all... That's right. Tomorrow morning, it's the Mickey Mouse Club on the Disney Channel. No, interesting news that I posted on the NerdWatch. it looks like Marvel Studios is now going to be reporting directly to Disney. Separate from other Marvel projects. It's interesting to me that now it looks as if Kevin Feige and the guys are going to be reporting to Walt Disney Studios chairman.
The Empire itself.
The Empire itself, Alan Horn. So he's got oversight over Marvel Entertainment. And it's actually, he's taking away oversight from Marvel Entertainment COO Ike Perlmutter. Not to get all technical about it,
you just
but
made that name up, didn't you?
I totally did.
There's no way that's real.
Fluffernutter.
The reorganization apparently took effect last week, and only affects the film division. Television and other Marvel endeavors remain under the purview of Perlmutter.
They're not the money makers.
Walt Disney Studios president Alan Bergman also will be heavily involved with the Marvel team, and the new situation is echoing the one that Disney has with Lucasfilm. So, does this spell disaster for the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I'd say it's something to be worried about, absolutely. Because, I mean, it could be for a lot of factors. One, because Warner Brothers is finally getting their butts into gear. There could be some concern that could be a threat to them and what they're doing. The issue that I have is that Marvel, from the very beginning, when they started their studio, already had a brain trust amongst the Marvel comics.
Right, that was the whole point.
With writers.
Right.
Writers that do the books. And they didn't really have any control over what was done, but they would discuss all these things in very vivid detail of what they could and could not do. Maybe they didn't do what they were talking about. Sometimes they would. I heavily suspect those guys are out the door, that those guys won't be talked to. Which basically means it's up to Kevin Feige to keep the vision of what they've been doing intact. But I don't see that working out. If everything he wants to do has to be reported to somebody else who's only looking at money.
Okay, so here's my question for you guys, Alika, since you are the comic book aficionado and statesman here.
Statesman?
Yeah, the comic book statesman.
Wow.
Here's the thing.
I swear every podcast
is about comics. Statesman.
Here's the thing.
I swear every podcast he gets a rank up.
A new title every time. The president of Maui Comics and Collectibles.
I know, I tell you.
El Capitan.
Here's my thing. Here's my question. Now that the universe we have is finite, the Marvel Universe is finite in the cinematic sense, because we are moving towards an ending, right, gentlemen, in Infinity Gauntlet. Yes, there is going to
or
be
a new beginning.
Or right. So my question is because of this, because of the transition that's happening now, does that mean that from Infinity Gauntlet, or I should say at the end of Infinity Gauntlet, we're going to be getting a new cinematic universe? So we already know that Marvel mapped out to Infinity Gauntlet. Disney approved of that.
A little bit beyond it, too, though. Till 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it 2020?
I think so.
Okay, because I know that 2019 is the Infinity Gauntlet Part 2.
But don't they have Inhumans come out right after that?
I thought Inhumans came out before that.
I could be wrong, but yeah. If I'm not mistaken, they have it planned out to at least 2020.
Okay, so let's say that 2020 is the deadline.
The expiration date,
correct,
shall we say.
So that is the expiration date for the Marvel that currently exists. Do you think Disney comes in and goes, now this is what we want to do with Marvel? You've made your universe?
I don't think they're going to do anything that crazy radical, but I think they designed...
I do. I'm actually kind of with Gannon on that.
I think they're a little smarter business wise. They're smart with properties like this. Like they're playing the long game, and I think everything has kind of been built into it. I wouldn't expect anything too like. You can see they're focusing on the obscure characters that they owned.
But that's only at the behest of Kevin Feige and the writers.
Yeah, all those moves were made prior to this change.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, but you can't honestly believe that they had nothing to do with those decisions or allowing them.
Let me tell you something. When your movie, not sorry to cut you off, but when your movie like Iron Man, the original Iron Man, makes hundreds of millions of dollars. And the
with
next
a star
movie after
that's
that,
not bankable at that time.
Non-bankable star in Robert Downey Jr., okay? Money comes hand over fist. This is before Disney gets involved, okay? And then the next movie comes out, money hand over fist with that one. Okay, the Hulk doesn't do that well, okay? That's a universal problem. They can't help that. But these movies keep ramping up the box office, and they keep winning, and they keep winning, and they keep winning. When is Disney ever going to say no?
Stop hitting the bank button. You
correct,
mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Disney's not going to do that. They're going to say, Marvel's going to say, this is the timeline that we're
looking
at.
But they're also not mindless monkeys. It's not Fox hitting the bank button then just not knowing when to crap out. They're like, this one made money, this one made money. Mm. Disney has a little taste, a little style. They know how to work with their brands. Like,
okay.
They haven't completely... Like, Mickey Mouse has been around since 1928.
Right. Right.
And they have not, you know, worn the rubber off those tires. Like, they know how to handle these properties. That's why I'm not worried about it. You know, maybe they'll go into some territory that they're not ready to handle, but they're smart enough to ask the people who do know about it.
Right, right. So, but here's the thing. I'm
not scared with Disney, is what I'm saying. If it was a different studio, then yeah, definitely I'd be like, oh my goodness, this big money thing, of course it's going to affect it. But I just think that with these properties, I trust Disney with Star Wars. I trust Disney with Marvel.
I don't know. If you ever saw On Stranger Tides, Pirates of the Caribbean, maybe...
Well, I didn't care for any of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies at all.
Okay, the fact that we're getting a Star Wars movie in December and not May was the first thing that kind of got me a little up in arms with Disney.
Right, right.
Because they want to push Episode 7 to be in 2015 no matter what. Alan Horn himself was just like, there's going to be a Star Wars movie in 2015 no matter what happens. And he hamstrung the creative team behind it to make sure that movie got done. So maybe they rushed it, maybe they didn't. But they wanted the extra time to put it out in May like they wanted to. And they didn't get that.
Right.
So that's, you know, maybe they still gave him some room to make a better movie. But it's still one of those things, like, your creative people are telling you, we want to deliver a better movie. We want to do that. Right. Better than what we have time to do. And you're not giving us that time. You just want to be out on Christmas because there needs to be a 2015 Star Wars movie just for market share. It's got nothing to do with creative stories. That's the thing that I'm a little concerned about.
Well, and he's right about that because Marvel's making the money that it currently is. Then Star Wars is waiting in the wings. There's no need to rush Star Wars, don't you think?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't think so either. I mean, format. I mean, do you see this blowing up in someone's face that now that we're reporting straight to Disney as opposed to Marvel now?
I think they want to eliminate thing, but I think they want to eliminate as many middlemen as possible because now that they know all these brands work, you need fewer guys involved.
I understand the concept of that for sure.
That's what I think a lot of this.
Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Yeah. Got that. That totally makes sense.
But back to you, format. Sorry.
No. Yeah, actually, I would just end up repeating everything you guys are saying, really. Do I trust Disney with the property? Yes.
Hmm.
Do I think it's a good move? No.
Hmm.
I would rather, you know, the brain trust that was in charge of the previous cycle of films to still be in control, because they're the ones that handled it from its inception.
Sure.
From the very first concept art to you know, the finishing each movie. Now that all those guys are going away,
right,
and it's just Disney at the helm, I am a little worried, but I'm confident that Disney will know how to handle things.
My only, and this is, I guess this is my major concern. There are so many disparate parts to the Marvel mechanism. Okay? You've got the television going on. You've got the movies going on. You've got the cartoons. You've got the comics. You've got all of these things, right? And you have, everything is out of the purview of Marvel, except, everything is under the purview of Marvel, except for the movies.
Yeah, but why? None of the stuff interlocked together anyway.
Right, but why the movies? I mean, why is it that Disney needs to?
Because that's the huge money maker.
Yeah,
bottom line is
it's huge also money. Probably the huge money taker. I mean, they gotta spend a lot.
But those stuff. But those movies filter down into those things whether they connect or not. Because everybody's gonna go see Iron Man. They're gonna go buy their kids Iron Man costumes for Halloween. They're gonna buy them the toys, the clothing, and all that. Even if it's not Robert Downey Jr.'s face on there, it just right. has to look like Iron Man. Because it can even be from a comic book that the kid never saw.
Right.
It just
right.
needs to look like Iron Man. That's all it needs to do. That's where Disney really knows what they're doing. They know how to market.
That's what I'm saying. Market. And that's what I would
except when it comes to Tron, apparently. But
marketing is where Disney excels. So my thing is
nobody's a better game in town.
Absolutely not. And I completely agree. So why get jumbled up in trying to run the cinematic universe? Marvel's doing a decent job right now. Why even bother? That's my ultimate question.
Sean.
I mean, at the end of the day, none of us are businessmen, so we can't...
Excuse like, me. We... You, sir, are a businessman.
And a statesman.
And a statesman.
Not the kind of businessman that toss around millions of dollars every day, you know what I mean? Like,
you're telling me this is not a lucrative million dollars?
But I mean, even on a lesser scale...
On a good day, we make a million, right. Sorry.
But even on a
Avengers
lesser...
Avengers number one.
Let's I don't want to get too deep into it, but, you know, because we got to sign off for our radio people, audience, yeah. But... Let's look at it at a smaller scale. Let's you run the comic book store. When do you, as a comic book store, let's say that someone came in and wanted to buy your comic book store for X amount of millions of dollars, correct? So let's say that you say, I'm down with that. I want the property of Maui.
Show me the money.
Right, I'm down with that. I want the property of Maui Comics and Collectibles. But here's the thing, is that I want to retain what goes on in the store, right?
What is that?
Well, like, you want to retain what goes on in the store, what goes on the shelves.
You still run it.
Wow. Okay?
Yeah.
So
I just
it looks
want
like
the
it's
name.
My business.
Correct. Correct. So, if from that perspective...
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
From that perspective, now, I mean, painting that picture in my mind, now I can see why maybe Disney wants to get in there, because it's like, I bought this property for... X of millions and billions of dollars.
We shouldn't be letting somebody else run it.
Right. That's now I can kind of see that now, making that analogy.
See?
I can see that.
Ironically, it's exactly what Warner Brothers has.
And the thing is, if
right.
you,
nobody needs to report to anybody there.
If looking at the rest of the third slate, you can tell, like, the Avengers already by number two, and I hate to say it, it was a good movie, I'm not saying anything bad against it, but it's running out of steam. Like, it's just, you're juggling too many giant heroes in one movie, and you can't do it for too many movies. They got two more coming up.
And they do.
And there's going to be a lot of superhero fatigue after that crap.
They're not going to be able to hold on to all those actors too for much longer.
That's true. That price tag keeps going up every movie. Yeah.
By the end of it, it doesn't matter if it was originally Marvel controlling it or Disney. I just want to see something else after that.
Like, true.
You know what I mean?
Good
Phase
point.
4 should be radically different, and I'm glad that they're focusing heavily on their... you know, lesser-known characters like Black Panther and Captain Marvel and stuff like this. Because by Phase 4, people are going to be into the lesser-known characters,
right.
even probably seeking out more of them, maybe getting more familiar with that cosmic side of Marvel, which is really a rich universe. And maybe we'll get some really out-there Marvel movies, you know?
Well, this has been an interesting conversation. I never thought we could milk this for as much as we did, but it does make a lot of this does make a lot of sense.
You start talking about comics, visibly getting upset about it.
I know he's really involved in the conversation at this point. So
Disney,
damn you! Well, listen, if there's one company that we can say has not only Marvel, has Lucasfilm. It also has one of the biggest animation studios in the business, and that's Pixar. And they were going to leave a few years ago. Remember, they left.
Pretty much the same reason. Yep, they left. They didn't like being hamstrung creatively.
That's right. And they came back. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this...
It depends on how much they exert their control, ultimately.
We'll see.
That's the only thing. I mean, Kevin Feige has a contract all the way through Phase 4. If he sticks around after that, that'll tell you exactly what's going on.
See, now I'm thinking to myself, man, maybe this is why we're getting so many Pixar sequels. We didn't need a Monsters University. We didn't need...
They dropped a lot of them, too.
We didn't need some...
I wanted Wall-E 2, man. I didn't need another Cars movie.
Didn't need another Cars. Cars sucked.
Or a Plane sequel.
Oh, Planes? What the heck? That's
Did
so
anybody
weird.
Like Planes?
Oh, no. The movie was good.
Can you guys go on Facebook and let us know if any of you like Planes?
Oh, yeah. Facebook.com/NerdWatch. Any of you like Walt Disney's Planes? Let us know.
All you Dane Cook fans.
That's right.
I like Planes.
Anyway, folks, more coming up in the podcast. We're going to be talking some video games. We're going to be talking some more fun comic book related stuff here on the show, but it's time for us to sign off to our radio audience. So big shout out to KAKU 88.5. By the way, some of the fellas that are on 88.5 live were talking about us today, from what I understand. I had gotten word. They were talking about the Nerd Watch. They were calling us out,
those
sons of
guys.
No,
they're so cool.
Yeah.
Was it the Friday Night Fright guys?
Yeah, well, it was the Tub.
Oh, really? The
it
Tub?
It was the Tub. The Tub brought us up.
Oh, you know why? Because Larry John's not there this week.
Yeah, that's why. So that's interesting. They brought us up, and they gave us a shout on their show and cool. things like that, and they enjoyed the show.
Thanks, guys.
They said,
I'll sign something for you later.
G-Money, and who's those other guys? And I said, Alika, and Format, and Gannon. And
if Shaggy had to ask my name, I see the guy every day.
And then
when I
said Format and Gannon, they're like, okay. And then they go, Alika. They go, oh, Alika, the comic book guy. Like, he's like, it's... So much more recognition than any of us.
Well, he is the statesman.
That's true. He is a statesman.
He's also the most handsome.
That is very true. He is quite fetching, especially in that hat.
And those things coming out of this interview.
The
Maui Comics emperor here.
And those long flowing locks that come out of his hat.
I wonder why you guys are buttering me up so bad. That Avengers 1 is still the same price. Yeah.
Like, yo, I'll act like you're going to get a deal on that book.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Right.
I'm eyeing up the game text now.
I might have bought it for a song, but you guys ain't going to get it for a song.
Oh, my gosh. This has been the Nerd Watch Radio Hour on KAKU 88.5. Drop on by Maui Comics and Collectibles when you can. It's a great place to come on by and just revel in the nostalgia here at the comic book store. Come check it out. Until next week, Nerd Watch Radio, we're out of time. Peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. If you are listening to the podcast, though, more to come in just mere seconds. So until next week, Nerd Watch Radio Hour, we're out of time. I'm G Money for Matt Gannon and Alika. Peace out, much love, stay nerdy, and we'll see you next week. Aloha. Gentlemen! And we're back for the podcast.
Oh, hey.
Woo! Anyway.
That was an abrupt return.
That was a very abrupt return.
I don't think that break was long enough.
It wasn't. We just barely made it. So, moving on to some more interesting news. First off, second episode of Fear the Walking Dead was on AMC this week.
Was it good? I didn't see it.
I still haven't seen it.
Let's ask the man who has been watching, Alika. Yes. Alika, how was Fear the Walking Dead season second?
Momentum's picking up.
Second season, episode, series.
I just started The Strain. I just finished the first season.
Strain's good, isn't it?
It's kind of the same thing. Like, what happens when there's a spreading virus that spreads rapidly and, you know, civilization is just destroyed.
I freaked out in The Strain when Rockstar's Johnson fell off.
Yeah, that was a pretty out-of-nowhere thing.
That was totally weird.
And the way he reacted to it, he's like,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I didn't need it.
It's like, crazy. Anyway, so Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, so it's got a little bit of that vibe because right now, you know, the main family, they're all in separate little adventures, of course. They got sucked in different directions during the chaos.
Yes, yes.
The first episode, nobody knows what a zombie is, whatever. And now, the dimension that they've added to it, and I don't want to spoil, you know... Well, actually, I'm not spoiling anything, really. They're playing up the angle of... Which is kind of cool. Not cool. This angle is terrible. But it's...
but it's cool to terrible.
I'm still trying to figure out what we're getting
but
at.
It's in our current events. It's, they play up the crowds protesting police violence because they see the police... They see the police killing these zombified people and they don't know that they're zombies yet. So they think that these police are just shooting people for no reason.
Wow. I didn't think I should have gone
It's
that
all
far.
Political. Wow.
But really? It's not really political. It's just saying if that happened now, there would be crowds protesting a zombie getting shot.
Exactly.
Because we don't know what a zombie
Maybe
is.
Maybe that's what's happening now for real.
Holy crap!
Cops have been really just killing all these black zombies.
Wow, that's insane. So, anyway, so
I don't really think that's what's happening. Right
Don't lie to us.
Yeah.
We don't know. We're not cops.
Is there a momentum with the series right now? Do you think?
Yes, definitely. Like the tagline and they actually said it in the episode. When the end of the world happens, it happens fast. And so the first episode, we're in suburbia, we're meeting these people. Like, why do we care about these people? This story is boring. Blah blah blah. Mm. And then by the end of the episode, we've seen two zombies and what they can do, and things get a little scary. This episode, the pace is definitely quickened. There's definitely turmoil going on. There's, of course, more of the zombies spreading out, more instances of them being found.
Right.
The public is, of course, not being educated. They're just being told to stay indoors. It's a flu. And so the public is ignorant. The police, I guess, kind of know the protocol because they know to aim for the head. So maybe there's been things spread among the police force or whatever that we haven't heard. We're not seeing the story from that angle.
Interesting.
We're just completely seeing it from the... massive panicking crowd.
I wonder if we're not seeing it from the police angle because of Rick and the rest of the guys. And
yeah, I mean, we know what a zombie is, so we don't need to see the technical stuff. Like,
right.
We're just gonna see what it's like to be in that society as it dissolves, which is also a scary ride in itself. Like, I don't think anybody's taken this ride. Like, the strain was a little too, I don't want to say like cliche, but a little bit like the situation is familiar in the strain. This is, like, a little more organic. Like, I can relate to this world. This is our world. People on cell phones not giving a crap or, you know, they're seeing things through viral videos. Like,
right.
You know, one of the zombies getting shot was a viral video and people are saying this is police brutality. You know what I mean?
Interesting. I can't believe they went that deep on it.
But it's easy to connect to in our world. You know
sure,
what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's very relatable. Wow. And so you feel like you're getting... This is what the zombie apocalypse would look like. It makes The Walking Dead feel more real.
All right. So, Fear the Walking Dead. Episode 2. Are you still on, I'm assuming you're still on board the train.
Yeah, definitely. It's on the pace I thought it was going to be. Like, by this episode, we're not in the boring soap opera world. There's chaos all around us. It happened fast. It happened fast.
Wow, okay. It's good. Sean's speaking up about it. He knows.
Yeah. We didn't ask you.
No. It was enough for him to break his vow of silence he made to those monks.
I would like to make a special shout out to a couple of the actors. First of all, Ruben Blades is in it, which is awesome.
Ruben Blades, wow.
Yeah, or Ruben Blades, like I like to call him. And
is that the dad? Who's the dad?
No, the dad is Cliff Curtis.
Yeah, that guy is amazing.
Cliff Curtis.
He's one of the barbershop.
Yeah. Yeah, Cliff Curtis is the... He's not a teacher in it. His wife is, isn't he?
He's in some... Yeah, I think they're in some kind of capacity.
And for those of you that don't know, especially in the islands, they probably do know, Cliff Curtis is a gentleman who was in Once Were Warriors. He was Uncle Boogie in Once Were Warriors, which
amazing
is a great
movie.
Film, by the way. Cliff Curtis will also be playing, I think, he'll be playing Jesus in a film in January called Risen. So
wow.
Yeah, it's he's got quite
he's a good actor, man.
We
really need another Jesus movie.
Well, listen,
how many times
sir,
we
need an action
guy
Jesus
to a cross?
Well, how many zombie things is this guy getting attacked?
It's like the passion,
kidding, dude.
It's like the passion with Jesus fighting.
Listen, I will not stand
Jesus
for this.
And zombies.
Not stand for this non-Jesus talk here. Anyway,
it's not non-Jesus. Just wonder why there needs to be so many.
Well, this one's called Risen. It's after the cross.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go. It's different. It's
yeah,
different.
You know.
It's different.
So when Zombie
totally
Jesus
different.
Rises, catch up.
It's technically a prequel to Fear the Walking Dead, if you want to look at it that way.
All right, so we should get on board Fear the Walking Dead.
I
think it should be pointed out to those listeners that don't know, they don't actually use the Z word in this universe.
I don't think that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because you just caught up on the fifth season of Walking Dead.
Not completely, but I'm getting into
it. You're almost there. My question is this: have the word zombies been uttered in The Walking Dead? No, right?
Which leads me to suspect...
Because zombies don't exist.
Right.
Which leads me to suspect that in this universe, there's no such thing as zombie movies.
Right, exactly.
Correct.
There's probably a million horror movies nobody's ever made a movie about a zombie, because I'm sorry, if I saw that, I would call it what it is. Yeah, but it seems like they navigate around any other word you can think of.
It's as if George Romero was never born.
Like, I didn't know. Rotters was a new one. I've never heard that one.
Rotters is a great term, I think. I
guess,
rotters.
But, it's. How do you not throw out the words? So the word zombie almost doesn't exist in this universe.
It doesn't.
Well, my question is, wouldn't it be. You would assume that they were mummies because they're decomposing. They could be mummies.
No, mummies are usually bandaged up and
buried. Yeah, but they if they
their
rise.
Nose is all swished out with like that.
Just checking. All right, so here's the thing. We got to watch Fear the Walking Dead. I'm glad you're catching up. How far until you reach the end of season 5?
If we're going by Blu-ray terms, I got 2 more discs left.
Okay. Trust me, it gets better because there's this boredom
it's
that sits in right
moving,
in the
man.
Middle.
It's slow moving.
Yeah. Don't worry, it gets a lot better. Trust me.
I'm sure the show itself is. I'm still kicking up though as I'm an
still,
episode.
Yeah, I'm still trying to catch up on Evil Dead for Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, for the Ash vs. Evil Dead.
That's gonna be a show
which we shall be watching. By the way,
oh
Ash
Lord, I
Evil
can't
Dead.
Wait for that show.
That's gonna be amazing.
Or curmudgeonly Bruce Campbell fighting Deadites.
And then,
I never thought the day would come.
And then Walking Dead. The season 6 will be premiering October 11th, so be prepared. We're a little more than a month away for The Walking Dead season 6.
It's just funny that they're putting those shows off a month apart from each other. Because one way or another, they're going to overlap.
I think it's a smart move because it seems as if that Fear the Walking Dead could be their summer zombie show, and then Walking Dead is their fall their fall show.
Eventually, it's just going to be the Walking Dead channel.
That's right. That's an AMC.
It's going to be like 6 different spinoffs. They all overlap.
And no, they're going to just change their name to the Z channel.
We probably didn't talk about it before, but they did announce that they're going to do a special, a Walking Dead special, Zombies on a Plane.
I missed that.
Yeah. You didn't see this?
No.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
It's been floating around that they're going to. I don't know if it's going to be a TV movie or just like a one off episode, but there's going to be an episode.
Yeah, it's a one shot.
Yeah, just dedicated to like what would happen if these things were on a plane. Now, I feel like they totally did not see World War Z, but that's. Not
yeah, that's
there.
True.
Well,
there's
that was
a
big sequence
in World War Z.
Granted. How much of a movie can you get out of that, really?
Well, listen, if you want to take notes about anything on a plane, you need to watch Samuel L. Jackson and Snakes on a Plane. That is completely underrated. I love that movie.
Fantastic. Was it good? I mean, I intentionally avoided
Fun fact about that movie, it was originally intended to be a Bruce Campbell film.
I had read something about
that. It was supposed to be like a direct-to-video, just like put on limited theaters movie with Bruce Campbell, but the concept caught the attention of people so much that they decided to actually try and push it off as an actual movie.
It became an
Didn't the internet write it,
basically? It became an internet phenomenon, yeah. It did.
And then Samuel Jackson got attached, and then it became a totally different thing.
Yeah, like, Snakes on a Plane was the start of it. Then came stuff like Sharknado and intentionally bad movies.
I'm telling you right now.
I don't want to encourage that behavior.
the director of that film did my favorite Final Destination, Final Destination 2. Snakes on a Plane is completely underrated. It is ridiculously
it's
fun.
It's a fun movie.
It's
fun. It's a fun movie.
It's so much fun. You got
to
see
Snakes
on a Plane.
It wouldn't be hard for that movie to be underrated because I rated that basically at the bottom of the barrel.
If you give it a shot, it is a fun movie.
Have
to admit.
It is a fun movie. It's like...
I usually don't have patience for junk movies like that anymore. But that
I love
fun.
It. And I tell you what, it's not as smart as... Lake Placid. It's not as smart as Lake Placid, which is, I think Lake Placid is an
I just love
classic.
Betty White, so.
I love that. But listening to Samuel L. Jackson and the mother effing snakes on the mother effing plane.
I'm tired of these mother effing snakes on this mother effing plane.
I heard there's a funny, I heard the TV censored version is these monkey flying snakes.
I'm tired of these motor scooting snakes
on this monkey flying
plane.
It's like, what the heck's going on, man? But yes, you gotta watch Snakes on a Plane.
Like, you don't even really need to have that line of dialogue in there at all. Like, you just cut to him shooting out the window.
That's right.
Like, to edit that line is ridiculous.
It's super.
Just cut the whole line out if you're gonna do
it. Absolutely right. It totally is ridiculous.
It's like watching Die Hard where Bruce Willis goes, yippee-ki-yay, and then he just awkwardly runs out the door.
Well, they kind of did that in Live Free or Die Hard.
He mumbles it, actually.
He mumbles it. Yippee-ki-yay, mother!
Yippee-ki-yay, mother!
I remember that. Totally remember that. All right, so we shall be watching Fear the Walking Dead. You're excited about it. I can't wait to catch up. I got to watch this show. Coming up soon, too, I think, isn't... Flash is coming back here shortly, matter of fact. The Flash is coming
back here. Zoom. Jay Garrick.
Matter of fact, they actually cast Professor Zoom, did they not?
I love the
voice.
The voice, yes.
Tony Todd.
Yeah, Tony Todd is...
Candyman.
Did you not know that? Not only was he Candyman, did you know he is a if I have my
that was a scary movie, man.
I love that movie.
The first one.
The first one, yeah. The Virginia Madsen is amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Did you know that he is a Shakespearean actor? He was trained. As
I would guess it from Candyman because his appearance is just so much gravity. Like I am scared crapless of him. As
you'd be surprised how many of these guys that play these horror characters are like. In some cases, right. Juilliard trained actors and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, we all know that William Shatner is a Shakespearean actor as well, so it's not a
what?
Big secret.
Are you talking about?
Very good.
He's also a Shakespearean singer.
We must get these mother effing tribbles off this.
Oh man, there's your movie,
Starship.
There's your movie.
Oh, that's awesome. Anyway, speaking of, before we move into games, I want to say that there are a couple of things that I want to talk about in the video genre that I wanted to bring up. First off, release dates. Just to let you know, the first summer movie of the year the first summer movie that we're getting on video happens to be one of the best summer movies of the year. And that, of course, is Mad Max Fury Road. So you can go out and buy it as of today. It's out on video, on Blu-ray, in 3D Blu-ray, and regular Blu-ray.
Snakes on a Road.
Yeah, I love that film, and I ended up having to purchase it. So I had to get
it. I bought it, too. I don't buy a lot of movies, but...
Mad Max Fury Road is a no-brainer for me. So is that something anybody else wants to own?
Of course.
All right. Just checking.
It was at the top of almost all of our lists, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was number one on my list, baby.
Is anybody else reading these crazy clickbait articles about how men are secretly angry with Mad Max because it's a feminist story?
I'd love to know how they found this information.
There was one group that said it was a feminist story because of... They put.
But that's the thing. I think it can be like it is a feminist story, and that's fine. Like Furiosa, I'm not saying hardline feminists like you know people from Smith College are going to be like we love this movie,
right.
But it really is supposed to be speaking to female empowerment, and that's right. You know nobody wants to take that away from the movie. I don't think there's men getting upset about it though.
Like, no, we all love the movie. There was one ridiculous group that got ticked off about
really?
It.
Really?
There was. It was a real deal thing. But I think what it was is that obviously they don't know the history of Max. Max was never the titular character in any of the movies.
Yeah,
with the exception
of
the first one. He was always the one that was in the background helping.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't...
He got pulled into somebody else's drama.
Right, he always gets pulled into someone else's drama.
The reluctant hero.
Correct. And here's the thing, is that in Mad Max Fury Road, although I don't think that Tom Hardy is as...
Charismatic,
energetic as Tom Cruise, as Mel Gibson.
I love how Tom Hardy plays him, though.
Really?
Yes.
I think that was the one thing...
He has very little dialogue in the movie.
I loved it.
Again, it's a series of grunts and...
Like
size
and like eye contact and like you know the finger point.
It's still a performance. Don't
it's still
get me
a
wrong.
Good performance.
It's still a performance.
I believed him as a shell shock nomad. Like he was like,
and that's where I can forgive him not having the dialogue because through this whole thing he was a blood bag. He was losing all of this.
Yeah,
he was losing a lot of his energy, and I could completely understand that.
He did
so
pretty good
it.
Though after he got off the back of that.
Heck
car.
Yeah, he did. He did freaking awesome. So I mean, I get it. I mean, I know I can see why people are upset, but it was it was Furiosa's movie.
Yeah, of course.
There is no doubt about that. And if you have not seen it yet, you must. It's
why are you even listening to us? Go get that movie right now and go watch it.
I would... you are speaking to the choir. You need to own that movie.
Matter of fact, I'm leaving.
Matter of fact, I am...
Target's like right across the street. I'll be right back.
Out of here. Also coming out today is Star Wars Rebels, the complete first season, which, to be quite honest, isn't a bad cartoon. Not a bad cartoon. Are you a fan?
I really haven't been watching. I tried to tune in because there's a couple new characters on there, like Kanan. Is actually being focused on in the comics, and I don't know anything about him. But he's like the last Padawan, apparently. So if you watch Rebels, you'll learn about Kanan, who's, I don't know if he's going to be important in the movies or
not,
but
we'll
see.
And that's pretty much it. There is one more movie that I wanted to talk about, or two more movies. First of all is Robin Williams' last film called Boulevard hit Blu-ray today as well. A very somber and somber performance, and they say it's very much like his character is very lonely. It's much of a reflection of his the end of his life.
A little painful to watch, which is kind
of painful, yeah, for sure. And then there's this other interesting movie that I don't know if any of you heard of. It's kind of like a horror movie, they say, in the backwoods. It's called Backcountry. Shout Factory is putting it out. I don't know how to explain it.
This must slip past my radar, because I don't know about this.
The Shout Factory's putting it out, and it's an urban couple going camping in the Canadian wilderness.
Well, for a minute, hang on a second. When you say urban couple, what does that mean?
Okay. Do I have to spell it out for you?
Sure.
All of us know the code. Racially
cultured. Are they not white? Is that what that means?
Actually, no, they are. They mean as in an urban.
Just couple. Wanted to double check.
Yeah,
that's all.
Sorry. Hello. If I meant the other one, I would have to say.
The other?
Inner what? City.
They couldn't just be a couple. They had to be something. They had to ghetto. Have some kind of title.
Jeez. Oh, come on. Let me be the racist one here. Anyway, at Backcountry.
Everyone's got to strive for something.
Right. Right. Everybody knows. According to this, they are camping in the Canadian wilderness where an unimaginable beauty sits alongside their most primal fears, is how it's being described.
One more time.
It's an urban couple go camping in the Canadian wilderness where unimaginable beauty sits alongside our most primal fears. So that's how it's being described.
A bear's going to eat them.
One more?
That's basically what that means.
One more time.
Yeah. Once again, I've seen the previews for it. You should check it out. It actually looks fairly decent. It got a decent score here, the Blu-ray review on Blu-ray.com. It got a really good score. It got 3.5 stars. They say it's pretty good. They basically go up against a bear, and it's kind of like The Edge almost.
They go after a bear?
No. The bear goes after them.
It's a spooky bear.
Right. It's a spooky bear. And it's wearing a dress. And a hockey mask.
So I bring it up because
I would see the hell out of that
movie. Right?
It's supremely intense, apparently. So
it's Canada.
What are you going to do? Okay.
That's like every day for Canadians.
Yeah,
that's
right? Every day.
That's really scary to us.
I want to see that film. I Bears, eh? Watch it. Bears, eh? That's nice. Games. Moving on. September marks the fall season for games as well, and ladies and gentlemen, there are two huge games that came out today. If you are an aficionado of gaming and or consoles, of the PS4 and the Xbox, let's get one out of the way first. Mad Max is out on PS4 and Xbox One, and it is a prequel, apparently, to Fury Road. It's a big open world environment.
They do have the War Boys in there. I know it's
I have not had a chance to play it yet. I would like to play it. I can't wait to give it a shot. But I could only choose between one or two. Mad Max looks really good. I've been watching a lot of Let's Plays on it, and it looks really cool. It looks very much like a cross between Shadow of Mordor, Batman Arkham Knight.
What's weird about that game to me, though, is that nobody seemed to really care about that game. It's like floating under the radar to the point where you thought that's probably going to end up getting canceled. That movie comes out, then all of a sudden, boom.
Would you like to know who's making that that game, by the way? Avalanche Studios. You know who Avalanche Studios is? Avalanche Studios is the guy who gave us Just Cause. And they're giving us Just Cause 3 later on this winter. Those guys make a pretty dang good game. So I'm kind of excited. So I can't wait to try it. Mad Max. It's not retro, Alita. I know that's why you're yawning, sir. I know it's exactly why you're yawning. But bigger than that, I have to choose this week between that or I get to play the Hideo
Mario Kart 16.
Woo! If only. I had the opportunity to play the Hideo Kojima swan song in Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
And?
Okay. That also came out. I'm going to tell you something.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Did you cry?
Did you finish it?
No, it's like 50 hours.
I was going to say, it's only been out a day.
Can I tell you something? The game itself, Hideo Kojima is... I am... there are three things that I think Hideo Kojima is. He's mad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He's Japanese.
Four things. He's mad. Mm-hmm. He's genius. He's Japanese. Or he's a Japanese mad genius. Because this guy...
I agree.
Let me set it up for you really quick, because I'm not giving anything away.
But you're going to give
the
everything
snake
away.
That we know has been in a coma for 9 years. He wakes up and he is told, more or less,
that there are zombies.
That's right. And now
I'm buying that game right now.
That's right, and he must fear the Walking Dead. So. But what happens is that we find out that he has been awakened after 9 years of being in a coma. The doctors tell him that they have done x-rays throughout his entire body, and his entire body is overwhelmed with shrapnel. Not only shrapnel, but bone and teeth. Okay? No joke. They say they can't remove any of it or else it could kill him, essentially.
Ah, Tony Stark.
Okay.
Gotcha.
It's time to go find a better doctor.
Crazy. Right? Well, no, but
go to that one from Hangover 2 where it's like $6.
The x-rays that show you are pretty extensive. By the way, the game is beautiful. Absolutely
beautiful. Of course it would.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I have the prologue. The prologue in itself, called The Awakening, felt like it was a 2-hour movie. Not a joke.
You're not even playing it?
No, Hideo has a tendency to do that.
Make interactive moments.
Interactive moments and things like that. But he also wants you to pay attention to the cinematics, and I did. I want to tell you something.
I think that dude feels like he's making a movie and a video game at the same time.
I bet he does.
This guy, the prologue is intense. Literally. I mean, I have never felt on edge in a game like that game. Like in the first couple of hours of that game, it was so intense that I wanted to stop. Like it was completely relentless. It wouldn't stop. Like I was like, holy crap! What else could he go through? What is going on? And of course, as we know, if we know anything about the lore of Metal Gear, the Snake, Solid Snake, is no spoilers, but he's a clone. Okay, we know that. That's the whole thing. But it's quite interesting to me what the setup was. I don't want to give it away, but I will say that the game looks amazing. I got to experience the open world. The open world. And that's just one of them I got to experience is Afghanistan. It is massive. Massive.
So is Afghanistan.
It's true. If I'm traversing Afghanistan. I will say that Hideo Kojima has a tendency to make the gaming sections a little bit tougher than they need to be. As in, like, you know, traversing the map or, like, trying to figure out what's going on in the map or how to mark things on your map and things like that. There's a lot of things to listen to in the game.
Steep learning curve.
Yeah, it kind of is.
That's good. I miss that.
He really expects, and that's a cool thing about Hideo Kojima, he expects a lot out of the gamer. Because he has put a lot into the game. So
you're not going to get an easy ride.
Right. I will say this. This is the most confusing of all. They're whacked out, and this is probably going to be one of the most confusing games ever, without a doubt. I do not know, because I never got to finish Guns of the Patriots 4, so I don't know how closely connected they are. I hated... people get mad at me when I say this. I hated Snake Hunter, or Snake...
Eater.
Snake Eater.
Snake Eater. Metal Gear Solid 3. I hated it. I could not stand that game. I couldn't even finish it. But I'm a solid snake. But
liquid snake.
And liquid snake. I will say this. If this game, I'll give you more updates as I go along. But if this game is anything to what I experienced, what's happening now, this game is going to be immensely great. It's going to be phenomenal. It looks good. It plays well. It's amazing. So, by the way, in the very beginning of this game, like, the doctor tells you there's people that are after you. We're going to have to change your face, okay? We go through this extensive face change. And I don't know, we see him change his face. his face goes back to being Snake, and I'm like, I went through like 40 minutes, or not even that, like 20 minutes of changing my appearance and my eyes and the shape of my head and all this other stuff. Hideo Kojima let me go through all of that, and I don't even see it. I don't even see it. It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing ever.
What do you mean you don't see it? So like, it's just the same face still after all that?
Right. There's a glance of like, oh, this is what you're gonna look like now, and then it goes back to being Snake, and I'm like, what did I spend all that time doing that for? It felt so strange.
That's a jerk move.
It totally was. It kind of like, what are we doing here? But then again, I'm...
I have a feeling Greg did that wrong.
Trust me. I did not...
I have a feeling, knowing Greg...
Did you not hit save?
No. Trust me. There's no way I could do that wrong.
Bypass the whole plastic surgery thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
Did you hit X instead of circle? Right. Or no, it's Xbox. So did you hit B instead of A?
B instead of A. It's possible, but... Trust me. If you guys are interested at all in Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, I would take a look at it. If you have Ground Zeroes, your save actually will transfer over to Phantom Pain. Whatever progression you've made, you open up new things in Phantom Pain, which is really cool.
So you have to go buy that game if you didn't.
Yeah, it's free. It was free on PS4 and on Xbox One for some time.
That's a nice touch.
So that was nice. It was good. So yeah. Check it out. It's been getting tens. I can see why, but I can't wait to play more of it. It's quite amazing.
It's a tall order.
It's gonna be. Like I said, it's that first 2 hours was intense, supremely intense. Cinematics, action wise, me actually with the game was intense. So, Phantom Pain coming out is already out. Take a look at it. I will be playing Mad Max. I can't wait to play that too. I really want to get my hands on that, and then. I'll let you guys know. If you guys play anything, let me know, for crying out loud. What are you playing?
Nothing right now.
Nothing? You finished Arkham Knight?
Well, I'm at about 92% on that game. I still haven't finished all the Riddler stuff.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
And you, how's Hearthstone going?
Hearthstone is Hearthstone. But, like I said earlier in the show, fired up the PS2.
Yes.
Been playing a lot of PS2...
Kingdom Hearts?
Staples. Yeah.
Making gummy ships.
KH2. I spent so many hours building gummy ships. Just ridiculous.
Oh, did you hear that Deadpool is getting remastered and re-released on Xbox One and PS4?
I did see that. I didn't have a chance to post it. The PS3 and Xbox 360 game is getting remastered, the Deadpool game, by, I believe it's High Moon Rising, I believe. The guys who did the Transformers game.
A new one?
Yeah.
The new Transformers looks killer.
Yeah, they did the. I guess it's called the Rise of Cybertron or something.
Oh,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
no.
They did that one. So I don't.
But mind the Deadpool game looked good. I've watched video playthroughs of it. I didn't play it myself.
I know it didn't get good scores when it originally came out. I got like 5.
But as a Deadpool fan, like all the dialogue they program into it and all the
right.
Like, mm-hmm. There's all superfluous stuff you can do in the game that's really, really fun.
Cool. Like I said, there's a lot of games coming out. There'll be more games coming out in the next few weeks here, which is going to be bombarding everybody's television with games. So look forward to that. Anyway, gentlemen, looking at my agenda, I think that about does it for this week, man. I'm telling you, I think...
What? Already?
Oh, can you believe it? It's only been an hour and a half. 25 minutes? That's
about our average.
It's about the average, so yeah, I think that's
about
it.
That's what will always give you about an hour and a half.
Yeah, coming out this, by the way, if you wanted to know, it's about right. Just to let you know, coming out in theaters this week is nothing you guys are going to want to watch. What was it called?
I don't know.
Transporter Refueled.
Transporter Refueled.
Yeah!
And a Walk in the Woods.
That movie's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Transporting through the woods.
that's what's coming out. So don't look forward to that. Instead,
save them no money.
That's right. Do exactly what Gannon said and just go buy Mad Max Fury Road on Blu-ray. You will not be disappointed, I guarantee, if you haven't seen it.
Or play a game.
Or play a game.
There's a lot of cool stuff to go pick up in the stores. Don't go see a movie.
Maybe not. Don't go see
or
a movie.
Or hold off until Friday and then buy all those good Star Wars stuff.
Oh, Force Friday coming out September 4th.
A lot of places to spend your money this week.
Yeah, lots definitely. Of stuff to do other than movies. So games is definitely in the picture. Read a comic.
Right?
Yeah, read a comic.
Read lots of comics.
Read lots of comics.
Read that Avengers number one.
Yeah, come down and ask...
Go read the Avengers one.
Yeah, yeah, ask Alika if you can come down and take a look
for $5, he'll let you touch it.
Yeah, maybe he'll let you touch it for $5. Maybe,
$5. The comic book.
Right.
Whoa, whoa.
I just want to make sure that they're clear what I'm saying.
Thank God this is the podcast portion of the show. want to send a big shout out to
you didn't get all weird during the radio portion of the show.
Sure I did. But I was only talking about Stanley's hands. They're so,
sure.
They're precious. They're something. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
And here we are again.
Here we are yet again.
I hope he never hears this.
I
might get to see him in a couple weeks.
I know.
Like, those Nerdwatch guys cannot.
Cannot.
This guy's got a weird thing about my hands.
That's right.
I'm not coming to Hawaii.
Excelsior.
I'm not shaking anyone's hand.
Excelsior.
big shout out to Alika for providing Maui Comics and Collectibles to do the podcast in. We certainly do appreciate it. We certainly love being here.
I love the podcast.
And
man.
Being surrounded by the comics and the games and the toys. But more importantly, we like being around the people.
Sean Mohan.
So,
Here's to Silent Sean.
Here's to Silent Sean.
Who's always been there in every single episode.
Every single episode.
If you listen closely, you can hear Sean in every podcast.
That's right, you can. Just listen
closely. One time he was sleeping.
That's right. So, Alika,
even before the podcast
that's
came
true.
To the Maui
that's
Comics.
True. Anything you want to highlight for this week that's at the store?
Well, I'm pretty sure Deadpool versus Thanos number one comes out tomorrow.
Which one?
Deadpool versus Thanos.
Whoa. Oh,
that
which
sounds
is
like fun.
A pretty mega event that's going to happen, I'm pretty sure that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And other than that, there wasn't anything really I was waiting for this week, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I see that you have some new games. I see that you have the new Avengers comics.
Got Dirty Area and NES right there.
Yeah, I saw
that. I didn't even know that existed.
I priced out all my NES, Genesis, Super Nintendo, and N64 stock and got it on the floor.
I see you also have some Star Wars toys.
Yes, they're the 90s ones, Micro Machines stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, I need vintage games. If anybody has vintage games, mm-hmm. please bring it down to the shop. Because okay. I need stock, because people want to play these old games.
Well, we know one person does.
Me? Yeah. I can't stop.
We know one guy does. So come down, read a book. And if it happens to be a comic book, so be it. So Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Dairy Road. Some amazing figures he still has in stock. And I hold in my hand the Deadpool Chimichanga truck by Pops, which is an amazing piece of hardware.
It's you got the last one.
That's amazing. Pop. So awesome. Is Pops, what, you know, before we leave, kind of curious, what's the phenomenon? Where did the phenomenon for Pops come from?
I don't even, like, I'm late to it. Like, everybody has these, like, little, because didn't people have, like, a kid robot? Does that sound familiar to anybody? They're like these little figurines that are kind of like, you paint them yourself.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
You know, but I think those were before Pops. Pops are maybe like a couple years old. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's just hundreds of them now.
They're cute, man.
Thousands.
Don't overthink it. They're just cute.
They're just cute. All right. Maybe you're right.
And they're everywhere.
You can make, you can make it out of everything. I have a Freddy Krueger one.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I wanted the Batman one. I wanted the Batman.
I have a huge Batman one where he's like the size of like my head almost. And then, yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. It's funny. I've never bought one. Like every Funko Pop I
yeah, mine were given
were
as gifts.
All
I only
gifted
have two.
To me.
That's, yeah. That's insane. Like people go, oh, Format would like this.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
You can get them almost anywhere. Barnes & Noble has them. Hot Topic has them.
Everybody
has them.
Yeah, everyone has them.
Walmart has them.
I can get Pops. I just don't stock them because everybody else carries them. So
smart.
It's almost
right,
no point.
Right.
Yeah. Can you get exclusives?
If Diamond Comics has it on their pre-order, like these Deadpool Chimichanga trucks,
uh-huh.
I can get that. But it's better if you get your order in on the pre-order because sometimes they sell out, like the Deadpool Chimichanga trucks, mm-hmm. and now I can't reorder them.
Now you gotta go get your own Chimichanga
truck. Now you gotta
truck.
Go find it, yeah.
Wow, crazy. All right, gentlemen, it's been fun, it's been real, it's been absolutely choice. Thanks for coming.
It's been choice.
Haven't heard that word in a while, right?
Wow.
Anybody got any plans for this week?
Some more PS2?
More PS2. What
I'm
about
not gonna,
you?
I'm not gonna be seeing Transporter Refueled. I'll tell you.
Will you be watching more horror films?
Yeah, I'm gonna get together with the little lady and try and catch her up in some Evil Dead this weekend. I'm gonna try and get that going.
I think you should do Evil Dead 2 and then Army of Darkness, like all in one shot.
Of course,
man. It's
those are very short movies, actually.
Actually, they're like 80 something minutes. You have, yeah, those one. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those have to be done in one shot. What about you, Alika? Just I know you're making deals and turning.
Yeah,
movies.
Just reorganizing the store. Trying to catalog that Daredevil collection hopefully sometime this week.
Oh, yes. Yes. Cataloging the Daredevil. Any good comics coming out for Comic Book Wednesday?
Yeah, I can't off the top of my head. It's, like, hard.
You said Deadpool versus
Thanos. And that's the one that, like, stuck out. I know there's a couple others. Of course, more Secret Wars tie-ins. And
right.
DC Bombshell covers, of course. We're going to be getting the ones that we missed a couple weeks ago. We'll get those in.
Cool, cool. So, and how? By the way, the article that I put up about variant covers on the Nerdwatch, everybody should read that. A very interesting article about variant covers for the comic book lover in you and what it does to the comic book business. I never knew, man.
Which is why I don't have all those very rare variants. Everybody's like, why don't you have this? It's because they make you order all kinds of comics that you don't need and my customers don't want. They're like, in order to get this variant for this comic, you need to order 300 copies of, you know, a comic that nobody cares about. It's like, what am I going to do with them? We don't care. You know?
You're just buying them for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, wow. So check it out. It's on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can follow us on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can follow Alika and the My Comics and Collectibles guys at my Facebook.com/MyComicsAndCollectibles.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Cool.
All right. Just put My Comics and Collectibles in that little search box.
Just put in that search box in Facebook, My Comics and Collectibles. And then what you can do is the number for My Comics and Collectibles is on there. Call Alika up and let him know what it is. just give him a holler. Just tell him what it is. That way he knows.
Just type in Emperor Alika of Maui Comics.
type in Elder Statesman. And then that's what we'll come up as. So big thank you and big shout out to Maui Comics and Collectibles for being wonderful to us and to the show. And we love having Alika on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Barry was right about you. He said that you'd be good for the show, and he was right. He was absolutely
bring Barry
right.
back. I would sacrifice
hashtag
myself to
bring Barry back.
Hashtag bring Barry back. All right, I'm doing
my
best.
Like a big, like, what is that regeneration show where I regenerate back into Barry and Barry's back on the show?
Well, listen, it's not as hard as you think.
Did
because
you just see yourself, Doctor Who.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's not going to be as hard as you think.
That's awesome.
From the guy who doesn't like Doctor Who.
I'm getting into the concept of Doctor Who.
Good, good. Yeah, but it's a shame. It's a shame we haven't had an opportunity to play What Would Barry Rate It lately.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of a bummer.
Well, there hasn't been anything good.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. I can't wait to play What Would Barry Rate It. I can't wait to play.
Have you talked to Barry about that segment?
Like, I haven't. I
have
want...
you asked him?
No.
Has he been like just like you guys make me pull out my hair?
Can I tell you something?
That segment?
I want him to come in totally cold, and I want him in here to go. Now it's time, Gan and Foreman Alika to play What Would Barry Rate It? And he'd go, what?
Someone's forgetting this is on the record.
That's right. I keep forgetting that we're recording a podcast here, and he's going to hear it sometime.
Too late now. Your plan's
been foiled. God, my plan has been foiled again.
It's all good. Barry doesn't listen to this show.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Since I haven't been on the show, there hasn't been much of reason to listen to it.
That's very true. Good point. He doesn't have any reason to listen to this show. Gentlemen, it's been fun. It's been real. We certainly appreciate you guys coming. I love doing this every Tuesday. It's what I certainly look forward to out of the depressing and dull life that I live. This podcast.
Is that a cry for help?
A little bit.
Oh, well, you need to read some comics.
You know, in college, we used to make people take a shot when they had a cry for help.
Happy birthday to Keanu Reeves, apparently, who just turned 51.
Wow.
Oh, so that technically means his birthday is September 2nd.
Yes.
So, wow. September 2nd,
Keanu Reeves still looks like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Right.
And to this day,
John Wick himself.
He will always be the chosen one to me. So, Neo, may you forever live in our hearts.
May you forever be the one.
May you forever be the one. And but I would say this, if you haven't seen John Wick, that gives Neo a run for his money.
Oh, Serve. Yeah. That's a great movie.
Freaking great movie. Love John Wick. It's so awesome.
I've never before wanted a sequel and not wanted a sequel at the same
time. I know. I don't want it to add. I don't want it to end, but yet this
just
is good enough.
It's scary to think of seeing such a good movie being spoiled by a sequel, but at the same time, you want to see him again.
But then again, we will be seeing him shortly in a horror/thriller by Eli Roth.
Yeah. Knock, Knock.
Knock, Knock will be coming up very soon, and he's going to be... It's Keanu Reeves, sir.
Oh.
Keanu Reeves the door.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Did you not see the trailer?
Oh, that's right.
He's the victim.
Oh, that's right. He's the victim.
He's not the
Keanu
guy.
Keanu Reeves who?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
That's too early for that one.
Keanu Reeves who? Come on.
Oh, I'm waiting for the punchline.
Sorry, I can't deliver it at this time.
Oh.
We're out of time. Golly, we got to get out of here. Peace out. Much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, at Instagram, at @the_NerdWatch, at Twitter, at @NerdWatchNation. And give us some feedback. Let us know if you love us or you hate us, or if you just hate me. Let me know. I hate him so much. If you like Gannon,
I'll go
on
there and be like, that guy, G-Money. Like,
listen, these guys... Heap all the praise on these guys, and just give me all your hate and vitriol. I'll take it. It's fine. I'm good with it.
It's very entertaining to read.
It's very entertaining. Super, super
especially
entertaining.
In the dumb voices we give you when we mimic you as we read them to each other.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really love
that
them.
Great guy.
I appreciate all your mocking. I certainly appreciate all of it. Once again, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we say to you...
So loud.
Oh, sorry.
So full of energy all of a sudden.
I know. I'm winding down. We're winding down, but I'm winding up. Okay. All right. Fine. Now it's all off now. Aloha, ladies and gentlemen. We are out of here. Have a great week.